You're listening to Show Me Your Mic, a show that interviews other podcasters about their workflows, gear, and thoughts on podcasting. Your host is Chris Enns, and for episode 7, he's joined by Adam Clark of the Gently Mad Podcast.
All right, you're listening to Show Me Your Mic, as you heard in the intro. And my guest today, as you also heard in the intro, is Adam Clark, who is a designer, developer based in Chattanooga, Tennessee. He's the founder of Bottle Rocket, a web development company, and his podcast, as you heard in the intro, is called The Gently Mad, an interview show about what drives us as creators and connects us as people. He explores the stories, experiences, and insights of awesome folks who make awesome things. Hey, Adam.
Hey, Chris.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
And this is actually the second time we've chatted, unlike some of the other guests I've had on the show who I don't know from Adam, so to speak. bad pun. I need the shop talk soundboard.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we did a show, an episode of Too Lazy to Blog, which is another show I do here periodically, talking about, which one was that? That was the Google Reader. No, yeah, Google Reader stuff.
Yeah, I think we talked that's what it was.
On Twitter and all sorts of what's going to happen to the web kind of conversations. So, but anyways, today we're talking about your podcast and, which just, we were just chatting beforehand, has been mentioned by .NET for, as one of the 30 favorite web designs, web design related podcasts, which is kudos to you for getting listed in there. That's always nice. Maybe give, I sort of read the bio, but what's sort of your pitch on why and how you, or sorry, the why, I guess, of your show?
Well, it's kind of a, it's not necessarily a long story, but the, I've always been interested in podcasting and broadcasting, and I was in journalism before I got into the web, and so it was something that always interested me, but I just never did anything about it. So I guess this is kind of the origin story of it, but last year I just wanted to sort of pick one of the side projects that I had, one of the many side projects that were sort of in the hopper, as it were, and just pick one and go with it. And the podcast was the one that was the most interesting to me. And I think the reason it stood out is because I love going to conferences, because I love to get to see people that I know online and on Twitter and hang out and grab a beer and catch up. And I love those conversations. And I kind of missed having those conversations. And also, I wanted other people to be able to sort of listen in on those conversations because they were always great for me and inspiring and just kind of catching up with people. So that was the idea for the show, was to sort of recreate that a little bit and have those conversations with people. And hopefully, you know, other people would find them interesting. But it was really more selfish than it was about other people, because I just love talking. These most of the people that have been on the show are friends of mine. And it was kind of like, hey, let's just hit the record button and, you know, record these conversations. And that's kind of how it started.
Yeah. And it's so you're up to, where are we here? 9 episodes as of this recording, which will actually probably by the time this comes out, maybe at 10 or 11. When it's actually this, our episode of Show Me Your Mic is released. But just from a design perspective, I guess, also congrats on a really well-designed podcast site. Often, I know that's, we often talk on this show, I guess, about getting the content out there and figure the rest out later, which is, it's a valid thing to do, because you could, I know you and I and others could spend days, weeks obsessing about fonts and typography and styles and colors and CSS and et cetera, which is all well and good, but often that ends up being where it sits and then the podcast never actually releases. But you managed to do both, so kudos to you on that as well.
Yeah, it was kind of I don't consider myself a designer at all, and so I was kind of happy that it turned out as well as it did. Like, for me, design, just, it's either kind of a happy accident, like it just happens to work out, or it's terrible. And this one just happened to work out. But it was also kind of an experiment in shipping something quickly. So I went from the idea of I'm going to do a podcast to publishing the first episode in 13 days. And that was kind of that's the reason the design kind of ended up the way it did, is I didn't really have the time to obsess over everything so much.
Yeah.
And which I guess is a good thing. It turned out better.
Yeah, no, I love the color palette even. I mean, it's a nice clean design, but then the colors that you've used and stuff sort of just draw everything out and lead your eye very well. And I'm like you, I'm even more of a hack when it comes to design. And either it works or it's 9 times out of 10, it's horribly awful. And then I work with a designer friend to help pretty it up.
Yeah.
But so what's the genesis of the name, the Gently Mad? Is there a reference there that I'm not familiar with?
Yeah, sort of. The Gently Mad was the name of my blog like 10 years ago when I was in college. And the name came from, there's actually a book called Among the Gently Mad, and it was a book about book collecting. So that just shows how much of a nerd I was in college, that I'm reading a book about book collecting. And it was just a great book, though, and I loved it. And because I was like a linguistics and literature major and all that stuff. So I was into all that stuff in college and loved collecting old books. So that was the title of it. And I instantly loved the title, and it kind of stuck as my online name throughout the years, various blogs that I launched. And then when I thought about doing the podcast, I just felt like it was a good name in terms of what it signified. And I guess getting to that, kind of what it signifies, the author who wrote that book came up with that name because there was another author who said that book collecting was like a gentle madness, you know. it was the least of infirmities, I think, was his thing, or the phrase that he used. But it stuck out to me because I kind of felt like for me in life, there's always that search for meaning and purpose, and in a way that can feel like a gentle madness, you know, like you're always thinking about it and always, you know, not to get too deep and, you know, existential, but sort of that search for meaning. And that applied, I felt, to the podcast, because the conversations that I have with people don't tend to be focused on their work as much as just who they are and why they do what they do. So it has all those kind of deeper meanings that obviously no one but me knows about.
Well, now the listeners of this show, and there you go.
And I had the domain, so.
that's the other 90% of the equation often.
The interesting thing about that domain, though, is that I had it for years, and all my blogging attempts pretty much failed. And one time I forgot to renew it, and someone else snapped it up. And I was really bummed about that because I'd had it for, you know, years. And so I just waited, you know. It was kind of like the eBay thing. I'm just sitting there waiting for that to expire. And whenever it expired, they did not renew it as well. So I snapped it back up.
That's funny.
So there was a couple years in there, like 07, where I didn't have it. But yeah, it's just kind of stuck.
That's interesting. That's, I think, one of the first times I've heard of a story like that, where you let a domain go and then you end up coming back to it and getting it back, I guess, without having to pay an arm and a leg, too.
Yeah, so I have them all set to auto-renew now.
Yeah.
So that doesn't happen again.
That's a good word of advice for podcasters, too, who maybe, again, aren't. You and I are, you know, we do that for a living with our day job, so to speak, of helping people with websites and stuff. But, yeah, setting your domain. My SSKTN.com is actually up for renewal here in a few days. And I don't know why I'm always dumb about, like, instead of just renewing it right away, I set a reminder and I'll do it the day before, and as if there's some plot to charge me more money or something. Like, why don't I just do it? And then I'll probably be gone or something, or get hit by a bus or something and won't be able to. Anyways, that's discussion for another show. Talk to me a bit about, just going to workflows and, you know, software and all that kind of stuff. What kind of gear are you using to record the Gently Mad?
Man, I'm the worst person to talk about this because I have no gear and it's just like the most basic setup. But I did that on purpose because I tend to be someone who, when I get interested in something, like I'm 200% in, you know, and I'll go and buy all this equipment and this massive setup for, which is way more than you need to start. So I really had to resist that. I was on Amazon looking at mixers and all this stuff. And then I was like, wait a minute. I have never even done a podcast before. Who knows if this is going to go beyond one episode. So before I spend like $2,000, I'm just going to, you know, see what happens. And I haven't actually upgraded the, you know, any of the equipment or the workflow. So, thankfully I had a Rode Podcaster mic from the previous year when I was recording a few screencasts. So I already had the mic. And I don't really, as far as hardware goes, there isn't any other hardware right now. It's just that goes into my computer. And, what else were you asking about? Software, I guess.
Yeah. So, software that you use for recording. And then it's all the shows, I think, are just you and one other person, right? So you're doing the Skype thing, or?
Yeah, doing Skype, and there's a little application called Call Recorder, which you can use to record Skype conversations and then, you know, split the tracks or split the two people into separate tracks. And so that's what I use. And I use Adobe Audition for editing and the only reason I use that is because I had a subscription to their Creative Cloud service. So, I had messed around with GarageBand a little bit, but I couldn't get it to sound the way I wanted it to sound. So, and again, I didn't want to spend a lot of money on Logic or Pro Tools or anything like that. So, an Audition is pretty powerful. It's a pretty cool piece of software. If I was going to go buy something, I don't know if I would buy that one just because, I don't know, everyone talks about how great Logic and Pro Tools are, but I had this, so I just stuck with that.
Yeah, I think that's also a reoccurring theme too of this show is, you know, using the tools you have, especially in the early days, to just try it out before you spend money and time. I mean, every single person who's ever, you know, walked down the path or in their head anyways of podcasting has gone right away to like, let's check out Dan Benjamin's Gear Guide, and let's check out your podcast, Cliff Ravenscraft is another guy, podcastanswerman.com, who has Gear Guide and stuff, and you sort of obsess over that and look at the mixer and think, oh, it'd be awesome. And I'm the guilty guy who spent the stupid money and has the mixer here, but end up, you know, doing shows like this with two people and don't really need anything more than that. So, like I said to previous guests, I think good job on resisting, because...
There's only a couple times I've been able to resist in my life. Most of the time I can't, you know, I pull out the credit card and do it. Yeah. But this time I, you know, again, that's part of the beauty, I think, of I was really inspired by Josh Long and Drew Wilson when they were writing that book, Execute, and this was before the book came out. But that was part of it, is I was like, I want to do this and I'm just going to do it quickly because I tend to obsess over the details forever until finally I'm just so stressed out about the whole thing. It's like, forget it. I don't do it at all. So this was intentional. I'm just going to minimum viable product kind of mindset, just get it out there. So I just used what I had and, you know, just launched it. So hopefully I will upgrade equipment sometime soon because I'm kind of a nerd in that way. I mean, you know, I'm interested in all the little details and the gear. So that's part of the fun of it, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, and even still, it's even if for 90% of your audience it doesn't change the sound at all, it still is. That's part of the fun of podcasting, is getting to play with the gear. Just like part of the fun of web design is getting to play with all the code that nobody maybe ever really appreciates.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So, Adobe Audition actually it's an interesting discussion, and I'd be like, obviously, you know, down the road or whatever, if you do change, I'd be curious to have you come back on and chat, because I've heard of there's camps, you know, in podcasting where folks swear by Adobe Audition, other folks swear by Logic, some swear by Pro Tools, and because Adobe Audition just recently, well, maybe it's been a while now, a year or two, returned to the Mac, because it wasn't available on the Mac for a while, and so I've heard good things about it. I know, who did I read recently? Marco Arment, I think, is using it for his
cool
podcast. But anyways, it's and I know, again, there's one guy, Cliff Ravenscraft, who is one of somebody that I sort of followed for a while to figure out how to do stuff on podcasting, and I know he swears by it. So
his tutorial videos were pretty helpful in you know, when I was trying to figure out how to do some stuff. And thankfully, I also have a subscription to lynda.com, and they had a course on Adobe Audition, CS6 Essentials or whatever, which, you know, I'm not an audio engineer in any way. You know, I don't know how to do anything. So without some of those tutorials, I would have been completely lost. So,
yeah, that's, yeah, particularly the tweaking levels and all that kind of stuff. And I'm still learning. That's until it's, it's a long road. And I apologize to anybody who hears any weird audio things on this show, because you would think a podcast that's about podcasting would have it all together. But sadly, that's not always the case.
Well, it's probably my fault, because I have a home office and there's a lot of noise around here. If you hear dogs, it's my neighbor, you know.
Yeah. Well, no, that's actually something I keep forgetting to ask every guest. I just think I, you know, had done the interview. The previous episode is with Sean Blanc, and forgot to even ask him what mic he's using, because we got on some other tangent related podcasting, but didn't actually go into it, because I think it would be interesting. I'll have to start tagging the episodes so that people can hear. And obviously there's a Skype issue, but, you know, you've got the Rode Podcaster. So this is what Skype sounds like over the Rode Podcaster, with all my setup being the same, all things else being equal. You know, compare that to episode with so-and-so who has a different gear and stuff, and people can maybe hear a difference, as long as I don't mangle the audio too much on my end.
Well, I think, too, that it's not, I mean, the gear is definitely important. And like I said, it's part of the fun. You know, if you're doing this, you're probably a little bit of a nerd in that sense and are interested in the gear. But, I don't know that it's, you know, spending a lot of money on gear isn't going to make you sound like Dan Benjamin, you know? So, which is, you know, I'll tell you one thing I did that when I was, because I don't know anything about the mixing and the EQing and all that, but when I was first setting up those settings in Audition, so basically I have like presets saved now that just apply EQs and compression and various stuff that I set up when I first started. And one of the things I did was I really liked, for example, how Dan Benjamin's voice sound, a few other podcasters that just sounded really good. So I just, you know, played a loop of them talking and then played a loop of me talking and kept just adjusting levels and settings until I got it to sound as close to that as possible. So, you know, because I at first, like, I didn't know, well, do I want to boost this or decrease that? And, you know, I really had no reference, you know, to know just by listening to it. I wouldn't know this sounds good. I mean, I would know if it sounds good or bad, but you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't know this needs a little less bass or a little more of this or that. Mm-hmm. So.
Interesting. Yeah. I hadn't actually thought of that, which is, that's a mix. And again, there's probably folks out there who are like smacking their forehead thinking, why wouldn't you have done that a long time ago? But like, to me, I mean, but that's, you know, taking the principles of, again, in this case, you and I both work on the web, and that's kind of the nature of web design. You look at someone else's source code and sort of figure out, okay, this is how they did that.
Exactly.
And you don't copy it outright, but you take inspiration from that, and you kind of, you know, you take bits of code and apply it to yours and then remix it and stuff. And that idea, I think, works really well. Cause there is, certainly that's something at a technical level that I haven't even gotten into in this show, is, you know, specific settings and stuff, because I think it is so variable for each person, but there, at the same time, there is general principles that you can learn from different folks and to get a nice sound. So I'd have to think, I wonder, maybe you probably know this, I know that you can do this in Logic, and I would assume Adobe has the ability, and whether people would want to share this, I guess, but would you, I don't know if this is, I'll ask you and you can say no, to share that the preset or whatever? Would you?
Yeah, sure.
That's something
It's I don't know how to. I don't know if you can export.
Someone out there is like yelling at their podcast player right now. Like, just hit the export. But anyways,
probably I don't know enough about the software to know if there's a way to export those like presets, where then you could, someone, if you were using Audition, you could just download them as well. But
we'll sort it out.
And I don't know exactly how well they would. You know, it all depends on your voice, I think, how you're going to EQ and compress things. Although I've found that the settings I have, I haven't altered for any of the guests. Obviously, they were based on my voice, but They seem to work. So
yeah,
and I don't know enough about what I'm doing to, if I try to tweak it too much, it's just going to get worse. So
yeah. So that's, I mean, we'll see if I'll put it in the show notes, if it is, you know, a link somewhere or whatever, wherever we want to throw it up. But, if we can, if that's something both you want to do and we figure out how to do, then we'll throw it in the show notes, which you can find at sskTN.com. If you look for Show Me Your Mic, and this is episode 7. We'll throw some presets on there. Yeah, that's kind of an interesting idea, I guess. We'll see. Because I think it gives people a starting point anyways. And if it's, you know, it's the podcasting as a community is a hard thing to sort of share stuff with. And because it's, well, it's even, I know I talked to Mike Hurley about this in another episode where it's hard to even promote each other's shows in a way. Like you can write a blog post about it, but you don't really get the easy pull quotes from like you do from someone else's blog post. And so sharing an episode is just kind of like pointing people to it and you liked it, but there isn't really the same kind of context given. So
yeah.
Anyways, on that vein, I guess, as far as promoting a show and sort of getting word out there, what has worked for you? What advice do you have? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, see, that I told you when you asked me to be on the show that I'm not going to have any answers to these questions.
That's okay. But, the discussion is the good thing. That's,
none of it is calculated. Like, I'm not what I would consider to be someone who's good at promoting or selling or, you know, social media marketing or any of that kind of stuff. Stuff just happens, you know, and I don't really know why it happens. With Bottle Rocket, my business, it's just been referrals since day one. And thankfully, you know, that's worked, you know, stuff has come in. And kind of the same thing with the show, the guests usually are super nice and they'll tweet about the episodes. And, I'm trying to think if there's anything else I did really. I didn't really do anything. I mean, I put up the site and, you know, got a Twitter account and got it into iTunes and asked people to rate it for me in iTunes. And most of the audience or success of the show, I guess, is just because the guests are so awesome. And that was, you know, I know for sure that if it hadn't been an interview based show, no one would be listening to this show, The Gently Mad. I mean, because, you know, it kind of blew my mind a little bit, because I've done various things, blogging, side projects, other things, and never really amassed any sort of following over the years. But, this podcast kind of blew up, and I think it's just because, again, the guests are awesome and they're people that have a lot of great things to say and a lot of great opinions and advice. And that's why people listen. I mean, that's why I would listen. So,
yeah, exactly. And I think for somebody who's starting out in podcasting too, it's a consideration. And I forget which episode we've talked about this already, but there'll be reoccurring themes throughout the show and that's fine. So if you're bored of this particular tangent, just skip ahead, maybe 2 minutes or whatever. But, you know, in deciding to do a show, do you do just a discussion show with you and a couple of buddies, and that's what it is? And you sort of, you each know your audience that you bring to the show, obviously, already, and that's probably where it's going to land until, you know, something starts to spread slowly, versus sort of your model, I guess, and similar models of interview shows where your guest brings the audience and... good or bad, depending on the guest, obviously, in terms of size and whatever. But, you know, they bring the audience to you, and then your show is, in a sense, can be at the mercy of the guests, right? Like,
sure.
And that's, I know I've struggled with that too with another show I do called Welcome to the Internet, where, again, interviewing folks that I was, it's look just like you, like inspired by someone and want to talk to them about how and why they do what they do, and then you just call them up and they actually agree to do your podcast and you're like, oh crap, now I have to figure out what I'm going to ask them. But
yeah.
And
well, that's the great thing about the way I wanted to do this show is I really don't prepare much because it's not topic focused. It's pretty topic agnostic, I would say, because it's really just about the topic is the person. So it's not so much, trying to get their opinions on a piece of work they did where I would have to do some research. And I mean, I do a little bit of research, but Mm-hmm. I kind of want to keep it fresh too. I mean, this could sound like just an excuse for being lazy, but yeah, I didn't study because I wanted the test to feel fresh. Yeah. No, I kind of do want the show to have as much of, you know, that fresh feeling as possible, where I'm trying not to guide the conversation too much and, you know, just have a list of questions that, you know, I have to get in. It's really wherever they want to take the show. And, you know, part of it was, okay, so let me back up just a little bit. There are a lot of interview shows. And, you know, when I thought, well, I'm going to do this show, one of my first thoughts was, well, there's already so many of these and they're so much better and blah, blah, blah. So, you know, this isn't going to be successful or whatever. And I reached out to some people that were doing shows that I respected. And Tim Smith, I think he was on the show before. Yeah. And also to Mike Curley of 70 Decibels. And I just really appreciated the advice they gave me. They were like, listen, if you want to do it, do it. It doesn't matter if there are other shows out there like it. And that's something I've always struggled with is, you know, just sort of stepping out and doing something, you know, because there are really kind of no unique ideas anyway at this point. So they were just really encouraging to say, do the show you want to do and don't think about, well, is anyone going to listen or what if no one listens and that kind of thing. And I think we're all lying if we don't admit that we think about that stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But but in other words, their advice was if you do a show because you want to get a bunch of listeners and you try to make it calculated in that sense, then you might get a lot of listeners, but you're probably going to end up not really enjoying what you're doing. So yeah, that's, you know, I don't know how I got off on all that. I don't even know if you asked me a question.
I stopped recording about 10 minutes ago. You just been talking. No, something in there. No, I've lost my thought. Something that actually Cliff Ravenscraft, not to keep referencing him too much or whatever, but he had said, and now I'm having a brain fart here. Okay, what were we talking about? Picking a guess. No, shoot. That's funny. My own joke derailed my own brain. So, well, maybe it'll come back to me. There's something that he had said. This is where recording a podcast, it's tough because I was actually thinking, I want to rewind right now and just go quickly. I guess I could technically stop it and we could, but I don't like breaking up the flow of stuff. But anyways, on the subject of guests, I guess scheduling and stuff, that's, I don't know if people often realize how much of a, I don't know if it's not a pain, I would say, but just a struggle or a lot of work it is to schedule guests. If you're going to have a, you know, like you're doing a regular show and you want to have guests lined up, and in your case, you're doing it, you're not recording it live, right? You're recording ahead of time, releasing it on a schedule. Any tips or suggestions as far as guest scheduling and that kind of stuff, arranging things? And I'm looking for advice here because I struggle with that one.
Yeah, I have been recording on Tuesdays and releasing the episode on Thursdays. And then a couple of weeks ago, I don't know what I did, but I lost like my whole half of the conversation. Like my half of the conversation did not record.
Oh,
so I was actually thinking about going in and listening to the other person and re-recording over, like, you know, re-recording all my questions, and that just sounded so time consuming. So I asked if they would be willing to re-record, and they were, which was awesome. And so we re-recorded that episode, so I missed a week. So now I'm actually like a week ahead, so I'm recording a week before the show airs, because I guess that bleeds into the scheduling part of it. I've been trying to book about a month out. So if something were to happen to, you know, a particular episode, there'd really be no way. I can't move everything down a week because I try to be really respectful of these people's schedules because, you know, they're obviously busy and they're taking time out to do the show. So, you know, we pick a date and that's what I, you know, stick to. So again, I ramble, and I think your original question was about scheduling. So when I started at the very beginning, I wanted to book the first four shows which after I did that, well, so I booked the first four shows and then I recorded the first one and I was like, oh man, this is way harder than Dan Benjamin makes it sound. So I was like, I don't know if I should have booked this far out because I don't know if I'm going to be able to do this. And, but then it got easier. But so I stayed booking, you know, about 4 or 5 weeks out. So basically like right now we're middle of March. So I would normally be, you know, trying to schedule people for April, but I'm actually already into the middle of May. So I won't like try to schedule any more episodes until, you know, the first couple weeks of next month.
Right. Yeah. Which actually when I'm doing the same thing right now with this show. So and I just due to scheduling fun, which is, you know, good. I ended up actually recording 3 episodes this week. No, I was actually just going to do 1, but it just worked out for the other 2 people that it had to be this week. And so I figured I'm always torn on that, I guess, because it's something I talked about with Sean Blanc in episode 6 was, you know, doing streaming live and having for his show that there was a certain sort of energy that came when they started streaming live. And so that's part of the thing that I'd like to build to. And I've experimented with that in the past, but yeah. So this show anyways is actually being recorded March 21st, but probably won't be released for a couple of weeks. And so in case somebody's got their head on weird, wondering what's going on as far as timing. And that's, I think, is a good tip for folks. Something that, like I said, I've struggled with wanting to record the show, get it out right away. So I would, in the past, I've like released 3 shows 1 week just because I had 3 guests and, you know,
yeah,
get it out there. Because that's, in my mind, I guess going back to like sort of the blogging world, well, you just put out a new post because you have one. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And I think like what you're experiencing and what I know others are much smarter than me have done is, you know, it's good to sort of pace yourself for one, have content, have an episode when you're not there, maybe if you're on holidays or whatever, get sick. But then also the audience can only consume so many or hear so many episodes of your, however amazing your show is, they're going to get tired of if it's all at once or every day or whatever. And that's, I think, patience is a good idea too when it comes to scheduling. Yeah.
I try to be really regular with it because that was something that frustrated me about other podcasts I listened to that, you know, were very irregular in the scheduling so that, you know, it's a weekly show, but then 3 weeks go by and there's no episode. And I'm wondering where, you know, what's happened to the show. And I wanted it to be very regular. You know, every Thursday there's a new episode. And so far I've been able to do that. But like you said at the beginning, we're only 9 episodes in at this point. So who knows if that'll continue.
Yeah. And that's an interesting discussion too. I guess with this show, I've been trying to, you know, have people of all numbers of episodes. Like Sean is at over 300 episodes of his personal Sean Today podcast that he does for members and stuff. And then, yeah, like, well, Darren Moser was another episode where he's actually just 2 episodes in. And so, yeah, all sorts of levels of, what's the word? Aptitude, I guess. And
yeah,
makes for interesting discussions about podcasts. Because then I think what's exciting is 2 or 3 months down the road here, as long as I schedule you properly, you can come back on when you're, whatever, at episode 25 or whatever that'll end up being. Hey, I just wanted to stop and thank our sponsor for this episode of Show Me Your Mic, Sound Lounge by T-Bone. You can hear T-Bone in the intro and outro of this show. And if you're interested in getting T-Bone to voice something for you, maybe your own podcast intro, a voiceover for a screencast or commercial for radio or TV, be sure to check out T-Bone over at thesoundlounge.ca. Again, my thanks to T-Bone and Sound Lounge for sponsoring this episode of Show Me Your Mic. One other aspect that you looks like you're doing okay with as a result of probably the, you know, some of the popularity, I would guess, is sponsorship. And this is always a funny discussion with some podcasters, and maybe I don't know how much you want to talk about it, but it's something I think a lot of us sort of struggle with, when to do it, how to do it. And yeah, so you have a sponsorship page on your site for folks.
Mm-hmm.
That's obviously not hidden.
Yeah.
And you know, your sponsorship includes an ad in the episode sidebar, up to a 1-minute spot at the beginning of the show, mention the company and products when you tweet about the episode. And so, yeah, just talk about...
I actually need to change that.
Oh,
actually, yeah. Need to change that because that's not how I do it.
There you go. That's the funny thing. A podcaster's website often gets neglected. I'm sure there's stuff on my site that's like, oh, that's not even something I do anymore, because you get so focused, as much as you and I live in the web world, you get so focused on the podcast, the audio side, that you forget about the website sometimes. So
how, well, I just I put that page up there when I started, just because, you know, I figured at some point there would be a sponsor and that would be awesome, but I didn't expect it to happen by this point. I think I got the first sponsor was for episode, I think it was 7. I don't remember exactly, but I didn't, and that had been in the works for a couple weeks. So they contacted me out of the blue about a month in, and I was just at the point where I was thinking, well, maybe I'll try to approach some, you know, companies about sponsoring, and then that just kind of happened. So as I said, I wasn't expecting it really, and but I do have some thoughts on it, and the thoughts that I have all just come from other people. Like I said, if you're someone who's just getting into this or interested, I mean, just ask people. You know, most people will be happy to tell you stuff, and that's what I did. As I just, you know, I emailed up people that I thought were doing this well and asked them a million questions. And like I said, those were mostly Tim Smith and Mike Curley, and they were super gracious just to answer all the questions and kind of give me all the details of how they do it. And so I just decided, well, that's how I'm going to do it, you know, until I figure out a better way to do it. And so, yeah, well, I guess more specifically about like how to get sponsors or...
Yeah, well, I guess in your case, now knowing, you know, what you just said, that my approach has been anyways to, again, just like most other things, I guess, that I've said is, you know, be patient, don't expect it to happen right away, et cetera. And then it has, you know, it's worked out for you that somebody has approached you, and that's always fun and makes it a little easier, obviously, when you're wanted as opposed to having to go pursue. I think for people who are curious about that, I think I talked a bit about it with Mike Hurley in a previous episode of the show, which will be in the show notes too. So presumably he gave you similar advice to what he talked to me about. And so folks can maybe go listen to him. Tim Smith, who you referenced as well, was on this show a couple episodes ago. And he went into some details on, for his show, the East Wing podcast as well, on sponsorship. And so both of those could be good episodes to tune in for.
I was just going to say that had Circles Conference, who is my current sponsor, not emailed me, what I was going to do was just approach a company whose product that I use and love and just offer them a deal, you know, say I'm just getting started and I really love your product and would like more people to use it. And so, you know, would you be interested in sponsoring the show? That was going to be my plan, was to just email a few people with that kind of offer and see what happened. But then it just so happened that I got a sponsor right before I was about to do that. So I didn't actually need to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Going back to the podcast itself and the sort of production, I guess, what and workflow and things. Sorry for jumping around a little bit, but
no, it's okay.
You're using, it looks like, well, I can tell from the code, obviously, you're using WordPress to manage the site. Any particular plugin of choice that you're using as far as podcast related stuff and things like that, or just sort of, what'd you go with?
Yeah, no plugins. I think there are some popular ones like PodPress, I think, and a few other plugins, but I couldn't figure out how to. I was confused by the whole feed and RSS and how does all that work. So I just went without any plugins and just kind of did my own setup. So I guess a walkthrough of that would be that I use Libsyn for hosting the files, and I don't really use, they offer a lot of features, and I don't really use any of them except for, I just basically use them as a CDN. And I went that route because it was a fixed monthly fee rather than a bandwidth-based fee. So already at the beginning, I was expecting millions of people to listen. So, So I thought that was, and also, like you mentioned, Cliff Ravenscraft and other people really spoke highly of them. So what I do is I have a post and in WordPress, and I will just use Libsyn to host my file and then just paste the link in from that file into WordPress. And then I've got my WordPress feed pointed to FeedBurner, and FeedBurner is what goes to iTunes. So it's like a, it's sort of like a Libsyn to WordPress to FeedBurner to iTunes. Because I was most concerned with the iTunes feed, you know, because it has to be exactly right or they'll reject it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's kind of the, that's kind of the flow there. And I went with WordPress just because, again, I was trying to do it really quickly. And, you know, I think with podcasting, there's definitely something to be said of maybe doing something a little more custom. But I just wanted to do it super quick and get it out there. So used WordPress.
Yeah. That's what I think. Again, going back to, I don't know if you use WordPress a lot in your day job, but probably in web dev.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, it's the common language that you speak. And that's, it's interesting, though, because of the, I'll probably forget somebody, but I think of the people who work in the web dev industry who I've interviewed for the show who do podcasts as well, well, that's why they're on this show, obviously, but most of them, I think, use Amazon S3 or some variation of an CDN already. And that's probably because, again, their day job, they use that for other stuff, for serving up website media or content and images and all that kind of stuff. And so it's just a natural thing that they'd go to. But yeah, for podcasting, it does seem like a little backwards to use something like that where you're paying per download, per megabyte going out versus something like Libsyn. It all depends on the popularity of your podcast, obviously. But to me, it doesn't seem too long to work out that Libsyn's pricing, which varies from like $5 a month to up to $75 a month if you're storing a lot of files. But, you know, you and I don't know your numbers exactly as far as downloads, but I know like you could put up one episode a month, or in your case, say four a month, you're probably going to end up being under 400 megabytes a month. So $20 a month for your, all your hosting. And then it doesn't matter how many times it gets downloaded. It's kind of nice to know those limits. But anyways, that's just advice.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to do Amazon S3 because that's what a lot of other people used. But again, I was just worried that, you know, let's say I did one episode that just happened to be popular, you know, the guests tweeted it and a bunch of people, you know, and then I was going to get hit with this big bill or whatever. So Libsyn is a little bit more money up front, but it saves you from the potential spikes. You know, if you had one episode that was super popular and got downloaded a bunch of times, it could end up costing you, you know, four or five times what you normally pay. So I think Libsyn. Well, and the other main reason I went with Libsyn is because their statistics are amazing. They have really accurate statistics, and I didn't know how I would track downloads with Amazon. Probably some of the people are listening going or thinking, well, that's really easy, idiot. but I didn't know how to do it, and you know, I obviously wanted to know how many people were listening, and the Libsyn statistics are super great. I mean, they're really good. They break every single little thing down. I mean, I can even tell how many people listen in Instacast or the iTunes podcast app. I mean, it breaks everything down. And again, maybe Amazon S3 does that too. I didn't know if they do.
Yeah. And that's, the one plugin I know that if there's somebody listening, then maybe they'll be, again, you can send me an email if you like. I'd love to hear from folks. But that's at sskTN.com/contact, and love to hear your feedback and, you know, things where myself or a guest has said something goofy or something you disagree with. We'll happily hear from you and do feedback, follow up, whatever, on future episodes, because we're all, like Adam has said, and I know I've hopefully said, we're still all learning and figuring this out as we go, and we're always open for new advice and ideas to make things a little easier or sound better or spread the word of our podcast. But another one that's popular, I know, is Blueberry PowerPress, which is one I was like you. I avoided using a plugin for podcasting because it seemed to make things more confusing for some reason. One thing that I've loved about, and I use it now on SSKTN, the Blueberry PowerPress plugin, is it makes it really easy to use it for if you're doing something like what I'm doing with a podcast network or whatever you want to call it. Saying network makes it feel like it's more important than just like me and a couple of buddies doing a show. But
yeah,
but so category posting of shows, sorry, category-based shows is what it handles really well. And so when I started a revision of SSKTN a little while ago, I thought, oh, I'm just going to try it from the beginning with this Blueberry PowerPress plugin. And it works really well. Plus, it has builds the feeds for you and all that kind of stuff for iTunes really well. But they do also have a stats system as well that you can, I think you can pay for. Don't quote me on that. But so it could be an addition. If you're starting out, I guess is what I'm getting at is, and you use, you know, DreamHost or some other web host, and long term you wouldn't want to use them for your storage and all that kind of stuff because it's going to be slower, et cetera. But maybe just to try out the waters of podcasting, something like that with Blueberry PowerPress and their stats thing, you could get by and at least get a general idea and get started with. So.
Yeah, I think one of the other reasons I didn't go with one of those plugins was because at least the one I was checking out, like you had to use their the audio player skin. Like they gave you a couple choices and that was it. And I didn't like any of those.
Yeah.
So I'm really picky about like the design details and stuff. So I wanted it to look a specific way. And so I basically just had to do it myself rather than use the plugin.
Right. Yeah. What are you using for your play? Because again, going back to the design of the site,
I'm using. Let me pull it up here. I'm pretty sure I'm using MediaElement.js. Yep, I'm using MediaElement.js, and they have several skins as well, and. The way I wanted it to look was they had one that was really close. So I just used that. So I didn't actually create that skin or, you know, buy a PSD or something and, you know, chop it all up. So I would highly recommend MediaElement.js. It's super simple to implement. And I think they even have a WordPress plugin.
Yeah, they do. I'm just looking here. And that's another good way of if you're sort of rolling your own stuff. But wanting to stay, because especially with audio, and if you want to do video too, it supports that. But with audio players and supporting all the like flash fallback to old devices plus new iPhones and whatever else comes along, letting someone else sort of figure that out for you.
Yeah, just totally. Just
plugging is kind of nice. So I think that's the sort of litany of stuff that I usually talk about. One of the things I often ask folks at the end is for some suggestions of podcasts that you listen to. Do you have any off the top of your head? Or?
Oh, yeah. I listen to a lot of podcasts, actually. I'm trying to think of, I guess, what would be my favorite podcasts. Well, now that you asked me, I'm not going to be able to think of it. But
I should start. I'm, you know, you'd think by 7 episodes I'd have this figured out that I should warn people ahead of time that I'm going to ask them this.
Well, actually, you did something really good here because at the end of my show, I like to ask people like what they're listening to or they have a favorite book or favorite film, and everyone's always like, you know. And so now that just happened to me, I'm like, that's hard to answer, actually. You know?
Yeah.
If you haven't been thinking about it. So
actually, I got a message from Cameron Moll. He said, make sure you put Adam on the spot at the very end because he did it to me. And no, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Podcasts that I listen to, probably my favorite shows would be something like This American Life. But I don't really consider that. I mean, that's also a radio show. So it's not.
Yeah.
It is a podcast and I listen to it as a podcast because I don't listen to it live, but it's not really fair to count that one because it's a hugely popular radio show, but This American Life for sure.
That's actually, sorry to interrupt you, for somebody who's listened to the episode 5, which my brain's getting all confused here because that was actually just released on Tuesday, but anyways, that's the show I was trying to think of when I was talking with JD and Brian. I'm dropping... My brain's falling out of my head right now, but I was trying to list, think of this show, and we were talking about this PBS show that I listened to, and I can't remember what it is. And anyways, so that's.
Oh, yeah. So I'm actually just pulling up my Instacast here to
look at
the
shows. I'm stalling for you.
Thank you. Keep talking.
That's actually the other thing I ask is apps. Are you using Instacast primarily? Is that?
Yeah, I've used Instacast since the beginning, and I love it. And maybe they'll sponsor my show someday, but it's a fantastic app. So my podcast listening has changed up a bit because some of my favorite shows no longer exist now. But I used to listen to Build and Analyze and Hypercritical and The Talk Show religiously on 5x5. And well, The Talk Show is still going, but I would say so currently, the Incomparable or Incomparable, however you want to pronounce it, on 5x5 is I've recently discovered that show, but it's been going for a couple of years. And I love it because it's not really about the web or technology, but it's done by web and technology people. And it's just a great show about movies and music and books and comics and culture. And they're all like super nerdy guys. And, you know, go into such detail about that type of stuff, you know.
For me, I know I resisted subscribing to that one for so long because the episodes are longer. I don't know. Maybe they're an hour and a half. I guess I shouldn't talk for almost an hour here anyway, too. But, and sometimes it seems like the topics aren't really what I enjoy. But then I just kind of, and this is being kind of whatever, dumb about it, but, you know, I just decided, well, I can give myself the freedom to not listen to every episode of every podcast I subscribe to, which sounds silly, but that was kind of like stressing me out. You know, it's sort of the whole inbox zero thing and your Instacast thing, but
totally.
Finally I was just like, no, I can just say I listened to it. Nobody has to know that I didn't actually listen to it. So sorry, Jason Snell, if you happen to listen. Actually, that's a good idea of somebody I should have on, because I know he does a very meticulous editing job on that show. But anyways.
Yeah, he wrote a post that helped me a lot when I was getting started about just his whole front-to-back workflow with GarageBand. So
I'll have to dig that up.
So, I've been listening to lately Neutral, Marco Arment's new car podcast, and that's pretty good. I listened to Shop Talk Show. I really enjoy that one. And, man, there's just so many. The Big Web Show. The East Wing, obviously. Tim Smith, great show. Command Space. Just a bunch of stuff. So,
yeah,
I could go on and on about podcasts. So all those ones I mentioned are great. Oh, one more. Well, two more. the Bizcraft from Unmatched Style, really, really good show. I'm really interested in business, obviously. So that show and the Businessology show with my friends Jason Blummer and Dan Mall is a great show too. And so no one's going to remember all those shows I just listed.
Well, that's okay. I've got them in the show notes so folks can find those again at sskTN.com. But yeah, I think
I'm a recent convert to Back to Work as well. Do you ever listen to that show with Merlin Mann?
Yeah, I've been a big Merlin fan from way back in the day. And so I've sort of followed him wherever he landed. And I was really excited to hear him do a podcast. And yeah, it's been good. It's hit and miss as far. Sorry, Merlin, if you happen to somehow listen to this. But as far, not the show itself isn't hit and miss, but just sometimes the topics are right in my wheelhouse and what I need to hear that week. And other times it's kind of just good background noise of two guys excitedly talking about comics, but
I haven't listened to it since the beginning, so I don't really know. I remember listening to the first episode when it came out because that's when I was first discovering 5x5 and Dan Benjamin and all that, but and I never really listened to it again after that first episode until recently, and I've been kind of like, man, why have I not been listening to this show? It's so great. So
yeah, it is. I'm loving that show. They did a series on just sort of, well, Merlin's thing of getting things done and stuff. They had a 2 or 3 episode arc on that. That was really good. And even I was joking about the comics thing. It's just kind of funny. I'm not really a huge comics guy, but it's interesting to hear. That's what podcasting is fun for, is hearing somebody else who's passionate about something talk about it. And I wouldn't read a blog post that long about comics, but I'll listen to them yak about comics for 15 minutes because they love it and they have fun with it. So,
also this show. Show me your mic. I listened to this one.
Oh, thank you. That's okay. Good little plug. Okay, you're at, I think, 13 or so there, so I'll have to start charging you if you list more.
No. Okay, just three more. No,
but I think that's what's good, because actually on episode 5 of this show, which was with the Wave Files show guys, we were talking, and they use Google Plus a little bit, or they're part of Google Plus anyways, their community of podcasters on Google Plus, which in the web dev community, Google Plus kind of has this, like, not really going to go there. It's a ghost town. And I rightfully so, I think. But what I found anyways is on there, and welcome to any of the listeners who have come here from that community on there. There's, as it relates, if you're in a specific niche and you find a community about on there, there's a whole bunch of podcast folks on there. And that's where I'm greeting and meeting a lot of folks who are going to be coming on future episodes of this show. And,
oh, cool.
And subscribing, like happy to subscribe just because I linked to the show, and who knows if they'll stick around, I guess, but
yeah,
we'll see if they're disappointed in the show. But yeah, just an interesting little angle, I guess, a place to plug your show and meet some other folks who are into podcasting and sort of, which again, like I said, the web dev community kind of turns its nose a little bit up at Google, and maybe rightfully so, because in a year from now, they'll probably kill Google Plus and replace it with Google Plus Plus or something. But
yeah.
At any rate, I digress. But a little plug for the poor little struggling Google. aside from the Gently Mad, which is at thegentlymad.com, where can folks find you, follow you, stalk you, whatever?
I would say I'm AV Clark on Twitter, and also avclark.com, which my blog used to be The Gently Mad. And now that I haven't moved it yet, but that's what will be at avclark.com soon. So that'd probably be the best place.
Cool. All right. My thanks to Adam for joining me on Show Me Your Mic. And be sure to visit sskTN.com to find out all the links to all the stuff we talked about, Adam's 13 podcasts that he listens to, among others. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm iChris on Twitter. SSKTN is on Twitter at SSKTN. Facebook.com/SSKTN. plus.google.com/ some obscure URL that Google hasn't decided yet. Be sure to visit SSKTN.com for interviews with other podcasters on this show. Like I said, there's other shows I do. Too Lazy to Blog, which is kind of a roundtable discussion show. Lost in Lemon is a show I do with my brother-in-law. He's in Australia. I'm in Canada. And we talk about things. And that's a great pitch for that show. And yes, thank you for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Show Me Your Mic on the SSKTN Podcast Network. Follow along on Twitter at SSKTN or like us on Facebook.com/SSKTN. Be sure to visit sskTN.com for interviews with other podcasters, as well as learn about other shows we produce, such as Welcome to the Internet, Too Lazy to Blog, and Lost in Lemon.